I just want to, Kurt, you can come on up at this time. Kurt's going to give an announcement, but I just want to highlight something. You know, in our prayer time, in our testimony time, in the sharing of needs, it can feel like, man, there's a lot going on, or I'm bouncing over here, bouncing over here. I just want to highlight, like, as I was up here just praying, like, God is at work. God is moving. You know, we have 30-plus baptisms at Hope College. Evidence of people saying yes to the gospel. We have Eagles standing up and saying, I need help, I need support, and many of you hopping in and doing that. And here is somebody who feels comfortable with the body to say, I need help, and then you guys step in. God is at work. We have Kyle in the back seeing the hand of God through his parole officer, giving him grace. We have the homeless community in the midst of devastation, receiving grace and goodness of the Lord and healing and hope in the midst of hard times. In the highs and the lows, we see that. We see Rachel back there, you know, dancing now. Her knees, something is going on. Like, she got prayer for her knees, and now she's back there going like this and walking around. So I'm just calling that out. If she's walking around, God is at move in her life. God is at work. Why? Because he is alive and he loves his kids. That's it. And what can feel like a little bit more of a chaotic morning, a little bit more of like, oh, we're over here, we're over here, we're over doing that. That's what happens when Jesus is in the room. That's what happens when he was at the temple and he said, my house is going to be a house of prayer. All of a sudden, he was turning over tables and that was chaotic, but people's lives were being healed and touched and set free. And so in the midst of Jesus and his presence, lives are being changed, and one life being changed looks differently than another life being changed. And that at Restoration is what we're hungry for. We're hungry to see the kingdom of God come. And so I'm going to have Kurt share a little update, and then I'll share a little word, and we'll go from there.
Kind of a little update from the elders at Restoration. We've been kind of in this season of, not that we aren't ever in that season of asking and seeking and knocking. And obviously with some of the situation with Bethel, where they're at, we're not sure exactly what they're doing. And I just want to read this passage real quick a minute, just to kind of get us going. And it's a very familiar passage. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And we've been in a season of kind of asking, seeking, and I would say when we heard the news about Bethel, we started knocking. And we knocked on a lot of doors. Several of the guys contacted many different places, and part of the seeking part of it was looking at where do we go, area, church, that sort of thing. And we knocked on multiple doors, and we knocked on one door, and the door flung open, and there was a very friendly face there with his arms open. So that's kind of where we're at with this decision. We feel as a leadership team that God is leading us to Maplewood. That was the door that God opened for us and opened with some pretty loving arms as we've got to know their leadership team. So I just, go ahead and just throw that up there. So I just kind of wanted to walk through some of the reasonings, okay? Some of the practical reasons. We have a very high percentage of people that drive from Holland to Zealand every Sunday to come to church here. Now, some people, including myself, I'm going to have to drive a little farther. And that could be true for people who live here. But we kind of looked at that area as a place where a lot of our body was at. They have a great gym, which provides a more relaxed atmosphere for worship. We can shoot hoops. It's great. The facility can accommodate a larger crowd. And also, Maplewood has vans that can help us transport people who are in a position that need help with that. So, and they've offered them them vans to us, use them. So that's pretty awesome. And some of you may be sitting here saying, why would we continue to partner with other churches? Well, buying a building is really, really, really expensive. And it's really expensive to maintain, and churches are quite often underutilized buildings. Okay? So it's simple math at that point. It just makes sense financially. Okay? That's a simple financial decision that, hey, the math works out better. But we also believe that God honors unity. Okay? God honors partnering with other believers. And that includes other churches, other missions, those sort of things. And that's something that's kind of been the DNA of Restoration for quite a while. We share a youth pastor. We've partnered with Bethel for years. We participate in joint services, joint prayer, men's group. We really feel like God has called us. God's a body. It's a body. It's not body parts laying on the ground. And they have to be connected and unified. So part of the vision for moving to Maplewood, and I would say every person, every elder on our leadership team that has been through the building, I would be in agreement with this statement that the part that probably excites us the most is not the gym, it's not the sanctuary, it's the basement. Okay? It's the basement. So the basement at this place is massive. It is unbelievable how much space there is down there. And God has kind of given us this vision for partnerships. Okay? And we've asked this question of what, you know, when you think of kingdom work, dream big. You know what I mean? What are the big dreams? And one of our big dreams would be to have a place that we can get different ministries under the same roof, working together. City on a Hill is a prime example of what God can do with a facility like that. And how awesome would it be to not reinvent the wheel every time we want to do something? That we're going to be able to focus on what God has called us to do. They can focus on what God has called them to do, and we can work together to accomplish His work. The basement at this place could do that. And it could do that with very low cost as far as having to do remodeling, that sort of thing, to make it happen. I mean, the basement's nuts. Like, literally, you will get lost down there. And that's no joke. It is that big. So that's part of the vision of why Maplewood. That's a big part of the vision. And the people of Maplewood, they're all about that. They want this building to be used in a powerful way for the kingdom of God. And they've welcomed this partnership with open arms, and we're excited about it. And we'll have more details, more meat and potatoes kind of details. And if anybody's got any questions, wants to talk further about it, I'll be up here after the service, and we can chat. So, thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Kurt. You know, one of the things that we're looking for as we make decisions as an elder group is simply it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit, as best as we can tell, to walk in this direction. And as we have prayed, that is just the sense that we as elders have received. And in talking with many of you, you said, like, yeah, that seems right. But here's what I'll say. We're going to communicate with Maplewood this week. But if you have a huge concern, if you're like, man, I'm getting this big check in my spirit, one of the things that I've always done as an individual, we've done as a family, is make decisions, but say also, God, stick up a stop sign. If this is not what you want, stick up a huge stop sign. And so I just put that out there to say, we're a body. Talk to one another. Talk to the elders. Say, hey, here's this question. But as of right now, we're in a spot where it just says that it seems right to us and the Holy Spirit to move in this direction, to head to that way just because a lot of the people that we interact with on a regular basis are there. And here Maplewood is saying, hey, come help us. Here's a facility. Have at it. There's a lot of grieving there to see a lot of their people leave, and then they have that space, that kingdom resource, where they're like, here it is. And so they've invited us into that. So with all of that, let us know if there's any concerns, or if you're like, hey, yeah, that sounds great. Talk to Kurt, talk to myself, talk to any of the elders. But before we go this morning, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16, and I had a lot more planned than we're going to have time for, but I wanted to put something out that is something that I believe all of us know in our heads, but I also feel that we need to be reminded on a regular basis of this reality. And when I look at what to teach on and what for restoration to teach on, and I look at it this way in different seasons. You know, the beginning of the year, we had a season on prayer, the secret place, and finding God in the secret place, and that intimacy with the Lord. And with anything, there's many things that we can teach on, but I kind of just, you know, as the week goes on, it says, it seems like this is what the Lord wants to do, and this is what the Lord wants to do. And frankly, it's all also dependent on what happens in the testimony time and what happens here. Like, what happens on a Sunday morning can throw a lot of curveballs. Like, hey, this testimony comes up. Maybe we need to talk about that. But the beginning of the year was on prayer, and then we talked about idols. And are there things in our lives that have crept in that need to go? And I believe in this next season, what we need to be focusing on is simply the Holy Spirit and living an empowered life as a follower of Jesus. And there is so much. I grew up in a tradition that did not talk about the Holy Spirit. I've also been in circles that it seemed like all we talked about was the Holy Spirit. But I also want to remind us the beauty of the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us as followers of Jesus to do the work that He has called us to do. And so this morning, I just want to lay just a simple foundation, kind of a reminder that we have been told to go make disciples. We've been instructed to go make disciples. But the cool thing is God gives us the power and the gifts to do it. As a body, individually, and there was a powerful reminder in Mark chapter 16 as I was reading this week. This is after the resurrection, and Jesus is appearing to the disciples. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now, let me stop there a second. Like, this is a beautiful thing about Jesus and his heart. I want you to notice something, that he rebuked them, but he did not reject them. Like, he rebuked them. He said, guys, why are you walking in unbelief? Why are you not believing the people that have shared things that I am risen? Like, why are you not believing? And he rebuked them for their unbelief. But then in verse 15, he said, all right, here's what I want you to do. Go into all the nations and proclaim the gospel. And I love that. Like, there's a picture of Jesus correcting and shaping, but not condemning. Jesus not giving up on people, on his followers. Like, they had heard. They had heard. He had told them that he was going to rise from the dead. They had heard others that they trusted, and they still walked in unbelief. And he's like, guys, wake up. Wake up. It's okay. I'm not rejecting you. I'm just going to rebuke you and then go out and share the gospel. And then he says this in verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. He said, here's your message. Invite them to believe in me. Invite them to turn their whole life over to me. And here, like, people have connected baptism with belief and have said mistakenly, like, unless you get baptized, you're not a believer. You know, it says baptism is like a way to be saved. Like, they put that out there. I've talked to some people about that. But I think the two are closely related. Believe and be baptized. Because what is baptism? What happened on Monday night? There was a group of people that said, I am all in Jesus. My identity is 100% in Jesus. I'm going all in, and I'm making a public declaration of what I believe deep in my heart. Now, that belief is what saves. It's our confession that Jesus is Lord. But there is a time when, like, we have to have that transformation of identity to say, you know what? I'm all in on Jesus. This is the message that Jesus was telling to go proclaim. And he said this, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. We'll get into that in upcoming weeks. There's a lot there. And it says this in verse 19. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, thus saying that his work on earth is finished, that he went to a place of honor and authority. All honor and authority was given to them, was given to him. And then he said this, and then they went out and preached everywhere. Just picture that. Those who walked in unbelief all of a sudden were filled with belief and went out and preached everywhere that they went. They proclaimed the gospel. And here's the cool part, though, the heart part that hit me this week. It says they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. I mean, get that picture. Here is a picture of where Jesus is right now. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He went back to really the position that he had been for all time in heaven. The one who created everything is now being worshipped by thousands and millions of angels bowing down at his feet. Hebrews says that he is the visible image of the invisible God, that he is ascended. He's the one who holds the earth in the palm of his hand, like upholds everything by the word of his power. Here is a huge view of Jesus, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. All throughout history, there has been an attack on the person of Jesus. People have wanted to devalue Jesus. There's numerous times in the church where people are like, oh, Jesus, he's just a good teacher. He's not like, you know, he's not really God. He just is the firstborn son of God. They try to devalue Jesus. Even a couple years ago, I remember people walking around with shirts saying, Jesus is my homeboy. There's always been this attempt to devalue Jesus. And here is a big view of Jesus seated at the right hand of God. I will always have a huge view of Jesus. He's not my homeboy. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's the Lamb who was slain from the very foundations of the world all around the throne. People are saying, holy, holy, holy. That's not a homeboy. That's holiness. Huge view of Jesus. But here it is in Mark 16. It says, the Lord worked with them. Here he was seated up in heaven, but also he was working with, in partnership with those who are going out and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I love this picture because we get to partner with the Lord. And I know that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy to me that we get to enter into a partnership with the Lord where we are to proclaim the gospel. We're to preach the good news of Jesus. And what did Jesus say that he was going to do? I'll confirm those, confirm that the message is real with signs and wonders. I will work alongside of you. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. And we'll end here. This is usually just a benediction, a blessing. I was talking with a friend of mine this week at the farmhouse. And over a pile of pancakes, we were talking about this verse. It said this in 2 Corinthians 13. And he brought something to my attention that I hadn't seen before. Paul is saying to the church, and he says this in verse 11, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. And then this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Like, we talk about grace. We know the grace, the unmerited favor of Jesus. We know that we've talked about that. The love of God, His unending love. We've talked about that. We have a little understanding of that. But then He said, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship there is more than just relationship. It is partnership. It's a 50-50 partnership. It's a picture of partnering with the Holy Spirit and receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit and working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. And it says this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Not just on some, not just on a few, but be on you all. This picture, frankly, transformed my life years ago. And it still is mind-blowing that me, Dave Roberts, I know my faults, I know my failures, I know my weaknesses. The Lord wants to partner with me. The Lord wants His kingdom to flow through me, all for His glory. As I proclaim the gospel, He wants to put me into positions and places to be His hands and feet in this world. He wants to put you in positions and places to be His hands and feet in this world, to proclaim the gospel and to see Him work in powerful ways. This has huge implications for every aspect of our lives. And I'll just say this, like, do you believe? Are you living? Am I living in a way that really displays that the Lord wants to work with us? That He is with us? Because that changes when you're meeting with somebody at a coffee shop. That changes where you live. That changes your perspective on your workplace that, oh God, you're with me. You want your kingdom to come through me in this place. Are we living with that expectation of, God, I'm going to proclaim the gospel, but I'm also going to live in an expectation that your kingdom has come, that you're going to work with me. Very first time that this really hit me, I was on a mountain in Colorado, just outside of Woodland Park. And it took some high school students out there. And it was in the evening, about 7, 8 o'clock at night. People were all around playing volleyball, doing variety of things. And I was walking around the camp, and I simply heard this voice, or just had this thought, go talk with this person. And I'm like, go talk with this person? That's not gonna do anything. And I was young and dumb enough to just to believe, okay, I'm going to go talk to this person, and filled with faith to go believe and do it. And I went up to this person, and I said, hey, I just feel like I need to talk to you. And they looked at me, and they're like, shut up. I just prayed, looking at this huge mountain, I just prayed, God, if you're real, send Dave to talk to me. And they said that, and I was like, oh my goodness. And here with this high school student, whose heart was a little hard unto the Lord, all of a sudden we had an amazing conversation about Jesus. And just that picture. Okay, what if? What if I didn't walk in obedience? I believe in the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord that He would have tugged on somebody else's heart to do that. He would have chased after that young man in a different way. But here's an amazing picture that I just want to leave with us, that God wants to partner with us. Are we available today? Are you available? That's the purpose of the cross, that we would be restored, that we would be reconciled in a relationship, that we can walk in the beauty of that relationship with Him, being used by Him wherever we go. Are you available? We're going to start next week and in upcoming weeks going all the way through Scripture, starting at the beginning, and just highlighting this reality that God wants to partner with us. He always has partnered with people. He could have done this all by Himself. But throughout history, He's working in and through people, and the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit that He gives to the church is a powerful picture that He wants to partner with us. So more on that later, but I just want to ask the question this morning, are you available? Are you living with that expectation that, God, you want to do something in me and through me today? Are we living under the heart that is seeking the Lord no matter what? I want to invite the worship team to come up and lead us in that last song. Because I never want to lose, no matter how old we get, I never want to lose this heart that is seeking first the kingdom of God in each and every situation. Living from a place of a deep identity as a child of God, but living out of that and saying, here I am, God. Whatever it is you have for me. The Lord worked with them and accompanied their message with signs and wonders. Scripture is filled with story after story of people who are available, who were available. Are you available? There's other stories that I was going to share this morning, but the thing that hits me is that there's so many more stories that need to be written. And it's going to be written through a community of people who are hungry for the kingdom of God to come. Are we living with that great expectation that at any moment God can and wants to break through to bring about deep transformation in people's lives? I just think as we sing this song, this is more than a song, this is a prayer that we, Restoration, would be a people of deep seeking of the Lord. That we would never stop seeking the Lord, hungering for Him in every aspect of our lives. Let's sing this as a